Each day of our week, there's a lot goes on within our world, within our society, within our nation, and within our families, our churches, our schools. And as I was sitting and reading, doing devotions this week, and just reading the Word of God, and thinking about, you know, our upcoming election and all the confusion, division that's going on within our United States now. Of course, if you look back through history, there's been ups and downs in our nation, within the world. There's always turmoil going on, and that's a part of living in this world. And I come across it, and the pastor's verse of the week is going to be Proverbs 29, verse 2. And the reason I chose it, I wanted to put that up and for you to think about and pray about. Many of you maybe have already voted, and some of you will be in 10 days, November the 8th. But the Lord has pressed upon me to share a message taken from Psalms this morning, Psalms 46. And I'll share with you about what was going on in the life of David when he wrote this. But in Proverbs 29:2, it says, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, they groan. Have you heard a lot of groaning going on in our society, in our community? Yeah, a lot of groaning. And when I come across that verse as I was reading, I said, man, that fits our society, our nation, to the T. And what's this verse is saying? When the righteous leaders are in control, they thrive. The righteous are the godly leaders. things become great, meaning the government, okay? The people are glad because they are more secure and prosperous. And we see that in the Old Testament. When people were following God, when they were serving Him and being obedient, they prospered. But when they didn't, it was a different story. But when the wicked leaders are ruling, the people groan. That means under cruel oppression. So we hope it, and pray that it doesn't come down to all of that, because prayer prevails. Ronald Reagan, who was our 40th president, I believe he served from 1981 to 1989. He lived a long life. He was 93 years of age when he passed away. He was born in June 5th, I think, 1911, and died in December of 2004. But he made this statement during his presidency. He said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. And he said that. one of the great presidents that we had during the era through our in our country. And looking at the Texas Morning of what David is referring to, here in Psalms chapter 46. He wrote this psalm, Psalm 46, at the time of the Assyrian invasion of Judah. So it gave the people of Israel needed assurance of God's deliverance, because they were going through a tough time because the Assyrian invasion in Judah during that time brought oppression in their life. And David being King David, Shepherd David, how you want to call him, Psalmist David, as he followed God's will, he wrote many, many, if not all, of the books in Psalms on his experience in the things that were going on in the nation of Israel and in Judah. And of course, he had some hang-ups in his own life, and God corrected him, and he paid dearly for his mistakes. But yet his heart was still bent towards God. So as we look, I don't know what that is. Just a minute here. Don't know what's going on. That's not part of mine. There we go. There. Okay. Be still and know that I am God. Now that is taken from the verse 10 of Psalms 46. So follow along with me as I read. Psalms 46, verse 8. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has worked desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Now, verse 10, KJV. That was the New American Standard. KJV, I wanted us to see verse 10, how it reads it in verse 10 in the KJV. And I like this version of verse 10. Be still. You like that? Be still. Be quiet. Is what's, and know that I am God. He's saying, know that God said, know that I am God, that I created everything. I'm in control of everything, government, nations, people. I've got it covered. You see, the thing of it is, we've got to pay attention. We've got to get our hearts in the right place. You know, whatever is in our mind is not always in our heart. So we got to get our hearts right with God and be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. And then verse 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. You believe that? The Lord of hosts. That means God. He's with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. Selah means it can be interpreted in many different ways: reading and shouting, singing loud, listening, or falling prostrate on your knees in the awe and the worship of God, Selah. So, when we think about all of this. In light of the assurance of our Almighty Divine God, authority upon the Scripture and what He stands for and His righteousness, we should take time throughout the day to be still, reverently honor Him as the God of power, love, and sovereignty, control of all things. We should. We should do that. See, even though war and destruction are all around us, and we hear it on, and we see it on TV, the Lord will ultimately be victorious in all things. Amen? He will. Whether we fret, we groan, as Proverbs 29:2 says, He has already won the victory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And if we are Christian, we are a part of that victory. See, God is telling us that despite the seeming instability of times, all we have to do is stand quietly, be still, and watch how the Almighty God displays His glorious power. No army, no military, no government, no nation can stand against God. So we have that confidence. We have that confidence. The early church leader, Augustine. How many of you have studied Augustine? Nobody? I did. Well, I had to. I mean, all the church leaders of our nation, our country, of the world. Augustine was confronted by a heathen who showed him his idol, and he said, "Here is my God, where is yours?" Augustine replied, "I cannot show you my God, not because there is no God to show you, but because you have no eyes to see Him." We have a God. We may not see Him, but we know His presence, feel His presence, acknowledge His presence. So I want to share some characteristics of God that we can honor if we will take time to be still and know that He is God. And we find it right here in Psalms 46. First of all, he is our refuge. Now, I have to go back to verse 1 to read that, and I'll read that in a few minutes. But we can praise God that He constantly offers reassurance during troubled times. So if you're troubled, if you're groaning, or any of us, and if we hear it, we can say, trust God. He'll work all the details out. Like someone asked me, was I a pre, all, post, millennial? Of course, you know, it has to do with coming of the Lord again. When will He come again? Well, I say I'm a pre because I believe the church will be resurrected before the tribulation. Because the tribulation is not, the church is not mentioned after chapter 3. And the tribulation begins to be introduced in chapter 4. I also gave him another version that many use, that pre, all, post, or pan. That everything will pan out in the end because God is in control of all things. So, perhaps the most famous verse here in Psalms 46 is, besides verse 10, which I love verse 10, be still and know that I am God, but is verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in time of trouble. I read this psalm quite often. I read it probably as much as I do Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. I love this too because it says God is our refuge, our strength. So if we will go to Him, we will run to Him, we will find refuge, and we will find strength in time of need. Also in Hebrews chapter 4, it also tells us that Jesus went through all the infirmities and things that we go through on a daily basis, yet He was without sin. Yet He extends mercy and grace to us in time of need. So this verse is saying the same thing, isn't it? In a way that it provides refuge and strength to us. when we're groaning, when there's a lot of uncertainties in this world, when things doesn't seem to be going in the right direction, God is still in control. Refuge is a shelter. It provides protection from all kinds of danger. And you see, our God provides that. He gives us that strength. So when we seek refuge in God, we are trusting Him to deliver us from the danger and trouble. It doesn't matter who's in control, government, nations, whatever, God's still on His throne. So when we seek refuge in God, we are trusting Him to deliver us from all danger and trouble. And too many people are seeking refuge in other things in this world. And sometimes in their own abilities. Because no one man, no one person can change anything or make anything right unless God is in it. He has to be the forefront of all things. So let us take the attitude of the psalmist here as we look in Psalms 46. A little boy traveling by airplane to visit his grandparents sat beside a man on the plane, and it happened to be a seminary professor. And a seminary professor saw him reading some Sunday school material from his church, and he thought he'd have a little fun with him. So he asked the little boy, he says, "Tell me some things that God can't do, and I'll give you a shiny apple." And the little boy looked at the man, and he said, "Will you tell me something God, what God can do, can't do?" And he said, "I'll tell you what God can do, and you tell me, and I'll give you a whole bushel of apples." So we see we have refuge and we have strength in the Lord. Now next, He reassures us in the Scriptures. See, we can praise God that He constantly reassures us with His mighty power. See, His presence and His promise. And we see promises here in this Scripture. So, take time to thank God for the fact that He reassures you with the rock-solid guarantees regarding our security. Your security is in Him. It's not in this world. It's not always in this nation, is it? But it's in God. See, people who do not get reassurance or think they do not need it are setting themselves up for deep distress. And that's why Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the wicked are in control or ruling, people groan. Look to God and smile." See, God alone is able to make war cease. That's what it says. He has the power. He has all power. He alone is able to give us the confidence to move ahead with His will for our lives, our nation, despite the outward circumstances, or our personal feelings of fear. And everybody has a fear of something, don't they? It might be something really simple. I know a man, grown man, I think he's older than I am, has fear of spiders. He was painting a man's house one day, and the man had to go get some more supplies. And when he come to a spot, there was a spider on the back of the house, just sitting there on a spider web, and he stopped painting. He stopped right there. When the man got back with the supplies, he was still at the same spot he was when he left. And he said, "You haven't moved." He said, "I'm not moving till that spider moves." So the man said, "That spider's not moving. I'll just take him down so you can go on." So we have fears in life. It's the simplest thing as spiders or whatever it might be. Claustrophobia. A lot of things that we can can see that we have fear of. So we can ensure the fact that the Lord will bring pass His will and way for our life if we trust Him. Take Abraham's attitude towards the challenge that God offered him in Romans 4, verse 20 and 21. It says, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving God the glory." And in verse 21, "And being full assured," here it is, he was full assured. See, God gives us assurance. He's our refuge, and now he gives us assurance. And this verse says that being fully assured what God had promised, he was able also to perform. I was thinking about our educators, our teachers, and how our students perform and so forth. When teachers want students to grow, they don't give them the answers, right? How many of you give your students the answers before the questions? Not many, not any. We don't give answers to for the problems. And it's like if a train leaves Cleveland, Ohio at 3 p.m. and headed to Cincinnati, Ohio, the distance of 223 miles, and if that's by train, that's probably pretty well as the crow flies, at the speed of 50 miles per hour, what time will the train arrive in Cincinnati? Pretty simple, isn't it? See, it is only the progress of accepting and solving problems that our ability to think creatively is enhanced, and our perseverance and is strengthened, and our self-confidence is deepened. And you see, we get that in the Word of God. It brings us comfort. It gives us assurance that God is with us. So if someone gives me the answers, I may get a good score on the test, but I will not have grown. And the Bible says that when we're tested or when we're down in the valley, we grow. When we read the Word of God and we're going through various situations in our life and we read and God points us and reveals it through the power of the Holy Spirit and it speaks to us and we apply it to our lives. It won't help us grow if we don't apply it. But when we apply the Word of God to our lives, then we grow. But we have to be into the Word of God and see what God is speaking to us about in every day's situation. So many people so unsettled how they want to go, how they want to vote. Many people have asked me, and I said, the Bible don't tell us who to vote for. The Bible tells us how to vote. And it tells us in the Scripture how to do anything, how to prevail, how to gain the knowledge and grace. As 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes again. And that will be revealed in time when the trumpet sounds. Just as our bodies simply will not grow stronger without being challenged to a point of exertion, so it with our minds and our spirit. See, comfort is not an adequate excuse for an unopened gift. So, read the Word. Be in the Word. We will find answers that God wants us to have. And then He reveals truth. And the truth is what I've been speaking about in this message. God provides the truth. See, we can praise God that He tells us ahead of time that what will happen in the future. And I think without doubt, God will be exalted in all the nations, and he will be exalted in the whole earth. Isn't that what the scripture said this morning? I will be exalted. In verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among all nations. And therefore, we should not fear, but work to bring every person of the nation and all nations to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because in John chapter 14, verse 21, it says, and Jesus says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. You know, that's you and me. That's everybody. And then Jesus goes on to say, and because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal. Now you can look at that disclose or manifest, depending on which translation you're reading, myself to each of them. He's talking about them, all nations, all people. If we will obey, if we will keep and accept, the scripture says, God's commandments. Jesus says, I will reveal the truth to you. Understanding. I will give you confidence. I'll give you assurance. You will have refuge in me. So, we need to learn to trust God and God in all things and all times so that we can gain a greater intimate knowledge of God. Now, upon that, he reveals truth. He also gives us direction. And this is where we come in. We can praise God that he will give you and me, his church, direction so his will be known throughout this whole world. See, the Lord, he directs everything for the fulfillment of his will to be exalted in all the earth, all the nations. Everything else takes a lower priority in his mind. See, presently, I was looking at, noticing the video we've seen of the CEF, Good News Club, and that is a great witness for these kids. Just this past week, just this past Monday, I had two of their children come up to me during the session and said, how much longer do we have with the Good News Club this session? And I said, well, this is our second week, so we got 4 weeks left. And one little girl, Emily, said, I don't want it to end. I don't want it to end. I want it to keep going. And another little girl, she said, I want to do this all the time. You see, they're challenged. A lot of them hear things that they've never heard before. They don't hear it at home. Maybe they're not involved in church, but they're hearing things that their precious ears haven't heard, and they're yearning for it. They desire it. As a matter of fact, give our church a boost. One of the little girls came to our preschool, and she said, I learned more in preschool than I did in kindergarten, and I learned it from Versailles Baptist Church. I said, well, bless your heart. And she said, I remember you too. Because I did devotions, I do devotion with the children and so forth. And she said, I remember you getting down on the floor and we shooting marbles. Yeah, I said, I remember that. So, you see, they do remember things. They hold on to things. And presently, two-thirds of the world is yet to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. 2/3. That's more than half, isn't it? My calculation is right. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16:18, New Living Translation, I will build my church in the gates of hell. And when the gates of hell, it means in the Greek, all forces of evil will not conquer it or prevail against my church. You see, that's a redirection or a regrouping or rebuilding of his church using us. And Christ being the foundation, we are the stepping stones to help others see Jesus Christ. See, this is a chief priority that God is most concerned about today with us. Yes, all these other things that we're experiencing going through right now is important. But you see, God put us here for this reason. And he says it right here. I will build my church and the gates of hell or all evil forces will not prevail against it. That's the Great Commission. And as long as we are seeking for the advancement of his kingdom and righteousness and greater quality and quality of all the people, then we assure that he will bless our efforts. And how can we apply this to our lives? How can we apply all of this here in 46 and the Great Commission and things that the priorities in the Lord, how can we apply this to our lives? First of all, I think by asking the Lord to help us to do whatever we can to be facilitators of the declaration of his glory throughout all the nations and all the people around us. That's how we can do it. A little boy was eagerly looking forward to going to a birthday party of his friend. And just so happened this particular night, there was a blizzard outside. And the little boy's dad said, son, I'm sorry, you won't be able to go tonight. And he just broke down. He said, oh, my friends are going. I know they'll be there. And I'm not that far, just down a few blocks. I can walk it, no problem. I've done it before. But the dad says, not in a blizzard, not like this, not the weather conditions like this. And the little boy pleaded, I'll let you know when I get there. I can do this. So the dad finally gave in and says, okay, but you be sure you let me know when you get there. So the little boy suits up, puts all his heavy coats, toboggan, scarf, mittens, and everything on. Takes out the door. I mean, you can hardly see anything because of the storm and wind blowing and so forth. And as he's pushing forward, trying to get through all the snow and everything, he finally reaches his destination. And the boy pauses and stops, and he kind of looks around. And at a distance, he could see a shadow of a man standing, looking towards him. And he got down looking, and he realized it was his dad. His dad had followed him to make sure he got there safe. We see, and that's our Heavenly Father. In reading this passage of Scripture, Psalms 46, see, the little boy's refuge and his strength and security lay upon his dad, and he made sure he got there safely. The Lord will make sure we reach our destination, wherever we're going, wherever he wants us to go, we will get there safely. No matter what kind of curves that the world throws us, we will get there safely because he is watching us, right? He sees everything. He'll secure our destination. Hudson Taylor, God's will done in God's way will not like God's support. I like that, don't you? That's a promise from God. Our Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message, Lord, that gives us strength, hope, refuge, assurance, direction. All we got to do is trust you, keep our eyes on you, and do all the right things, obey your commandments, accept them, apply them to our lives, and Lord, you will take care of the consequences. You'll make sure we reach our destination, the purpose you call us all, according to your will. You'll make sure we make it just fine through all the turmoils, all the groanings in this world. Just like the little boy, the father was watching him the whole time. You watch us the whole time. You keep your eyes on us. You know everything ins and out of our lives. And you know our thoughts, our conduct. And Lord, you just want us to be recognized and evaluate each day of our life. Read your scriptures. Be in tune with you to make sure that we are pleasing to you. Whatever the decisions are here today, whether it be salvation, church membership, renewal of commitment, Lord, lead with your Holy Spirit, because your Holy Spirit is here this morning. You are working in every one of our lives. People I've spoke with this week, just listening to them, let me know you're working in their lives. They're not yet there yet, but they're getting close. So, Lord, every one of us needs to have a closer walk with you. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your grace. We praise and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of meditation.